This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Tuesday morning. I remember saying last week that, you know, a press conference really doesn't matter. And this Adam Gase hire was met with such negativity from Jets fans that no matter what he said or did, it probably wouldn't have made it better. But it could get worse if he says the wrong things. He didn't necessarily say the wrong things yesterday, but he looked like a psycho as he sat there with his eyes bugged out of his head, looking around as if he was waiting for someone to attack him in a scared, anxious state that scared the hell out of just about everybody who was rooted for the New York Jets in their lifetime. Yesterday was not a good day for those of us who told Jet fans to relax. This hire is going to be okay. Adam Gase is going to be all right. The Jets introduced a man yesterday who looked like he was capable of murdering his pets. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
We're not even waiting, like, you know, to kind of get into it. You're just going to dive right into the pool, right? Just
well, go for it. Boomer, this is the entire story that came out of the press conference. I can't, unbelievably enough. I mean, think about it. It's not what he said about Sam Darnold. It's not what he said about his time in Miami. It's not what Christopher Johnson said about Mike McCarthy. It's not about him getting angry with the media. Nothing came out of this thing except his crazy eyes.
You can't hide from Adam Gase's eyes. And your smile is like a crazy guy's. I thought by now you'd realize there ain't no way to hide from Adam Gase's eyes.
All right, so let me be the first to welcome Adam Gase to New York. Welcome to your new job, and welcome to where, you know, there are 10 million people that are so focused in on you that no matter what you say, how you say it, what you look, I mean, they'll always find something. So it's a very unfortunate situation. I guess I'm assuming that he was probably a little bit nervous.
Yeah, I guess so. Now, he wears a hat most of the time when he's on the sideline, after games, before games, after practice, when he talks to the media. So it's a rare occurrence when he doesn't have the hat on.
Well,
so
maybe he realizes that he has this tendency to do this, and, or whatever that is. I'm not really sure.
I don't know either
what that is.
Now, a couple of things. So in the post this morning, there was a little blurb on this. A guy named Michael Blinn said he talked to somebody who covered Gase and said that it is not health-related, so we can get that out of the way. It was not a health-related thing. I texted Stu Gatz down in Miami, who is covered. He works on the Le Batard Show. He's covered him for years, and he's a Jets fan. I said, what's going on with this guy? Is this a normal thing? And he said, it's totally normal, and he gets extra crazy after losses the way he looks. So, like, this apparently is a thing. We just didn't know about it, and it got really bad yesterday. So
I've seen it. I've seen it in post-game press conferences. Now, sometimes when he wears his hat, like when he went after when he was getting tired of talking about Ryan Tannehill.
Right.
You could see it. I think it's just a natural, it's a natural reaction for him.
Yeah, it's totally unnatural looking.
Well, yeah, but it's just something that goes on with him. I think yesterday maybe a little nervous. It was a kind of really bland press conference. Oh, I mean, it was like awful. And then, of course, they broke it down into smaller sessions, I guess, and guys could ask more direct questions and everything else. But, yeah, it just, it didn't. You know, they talk about it, and I hate saying this, winning the press conference. Or, it was like nothing.
This was horrible.
It was nothing
it's
at all.
As bad as it gets.
Like, all right, I was really excited to see it and hear it, and everything was going to go on. But the other thing, too, the only thing that I did hear that would just kind of trouble me a little bit, and I know he's here because, you know, he's the quarterback whisperer. He's the guy that's going to work with Sam Darnold. And I had a relationship with Sam Weish in my first 5 or 6 years where Sam was my quarterback coach. You know, and when I went to meetings in the morning, Sam was in there. You know, the first meeting I had was, I'll never forget, it was at 7 o'clock every morning. I had to be in his office. And we would go over, you know, the entire game plan every single day. And we'd go over, that was back when we would have signals from the sideline. And I would have to know, and he would quiz me constantly about formations and personnel groups and all that other stuff. So it can work that way. And when you watch the games, especially this past weekend, you know, there's Andy Reid sitting on the bench,
sure,
as Adam Gase has done with Ryan Tannehill down in Miami, sitting on the bench with his prize pupil, Patrick Mahomes, while the defense is out there playing. So it's not like, you know, this is, it's different around the league. It's not. A lot of this is going on around the league right now. My buddy Frank Reich with Andrew Luck. You know, they sit on the sideline, they go over what they see, and, you know, and sometimes the defense is out there doing their thing, and the head coach can hear all the stuff that's going on, because ultimately he's going to have to make a decision about something, you know, whether it's accepting a penalty or whatever the situation may be. So I don't mind that part of it, but I don't like the idea that, you know, I got to find the head coach for the defense. No, you really are, and it is important that you stand up in front of 53 guys every single day and you lay down the law. You tell them what's going on. You set the process. You set where your team is supposed to go. So I get he wants a very, emotional leader on defense, which is great. It's fine. But you still have to be the leader of 53 men.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things that he said he learned, and he did not have a great defensive coordinator relationship with him there. I believe the guy's name was Matt Burke with the Dolphins, so he's probably saying, I just have to get better with that. I got to make a hire of somebody who's going to be more in command there, and that's something I've learned from. So,
but he also has to be.
I'm sure he will. I'm sure he seems like a guy who's got his hand in a lot of things. You know?
So. I remember, and I can only go by, you know, the experiences that I have had. You know, Pete Carroll was a defensive head coach when he was hired. Man, but he was all over me as the quarterback, even though he was defensive. You know, like in practice, he would be like, you know, this is what we're trying to do on defense. This is what you should be looking for. He would always go through the time mechanisms of games, how many timeouts left, how many, you know, the two-minute warning, you know, how are we going to handle these situations? And he would try to rehearse as many of those as he possibly could from an offensive side with his defensive input.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So there has to be communication between the coach, no matter what the coach is hired for, and in this case, obviously, it's Sam Darnold. What happens if Sam Darnold goes down?
Then the Jets are screwed, right?
Yeah, but I'm saying, is the season over? This is where a coach really shows his true worth, because you have to be able to win if something goes wrong with your quarterback. You know, Sam missed 3 games or 4 games this year because of the foot injury. So if he goes down, there better be more than Sam Darnold there.
Right. And also, he's a good guy to give an example of. I mean, he won some games with Brock Osweiler this year. Matt Moore went 2-1 and played in a playoff game for him.
He won games as a quarterback coach with Tim Tebow. He took him, went to the playoffs. Then he goes from Tim Tebow to Peyton Manning, for God's sake.
That's incredible.
I mean, and you think about everybody in between. And I know yesterday he also said that he had never worked with somebody, you know, like Sam, who was as high a draft pick and is as young in his career as he is today. So they've put a lot of public pressure on Sam Darnold.
Well,
I mean, it's unbelievable.
I mean, isn't that sort of what we expected? And isn't that sort of what comes with the territory, being a quarterback in the NFL, especially of a franchise in New York that has struggled?
It was just kind of a weird messaging yesterday. That's all. It was just weird.
Well, the
messaging.
Whole thing was weird.
Right. And it's the proof is going to be in the performance, not in the press conferences. You know, it's not going to be in the eyes, the no eyes, or whatever. I mean, it's going to be in whether or not they win football games. And ultimately, that's what he's going to be judged on. Now, could you say, okay, he's off to a bad start or a weird start? I guess you could say that. The whole thing was weird yesterday. But at the end of the day, if he puts together a good staff, because that is and should be their number one priority right now, and they get off to a good start, he'll have an extra couple weeks to work with the team because he's a new coach, and the NFL allows that in the within the league rules. I just have to wait to see what it looks like come September and October. I mean, we can have some fun with it this morning, and I'm sure we will. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to what that football team looks like when they hit the field for real in September.
Yeah, first coach in Jets history to see dead people, too. So he's the first one ever who's been able to do that. It's just funny because if you think about the people like Joe and Evan and all these guys who didn't want Gase, right? And they saw Gase in Miami. You know, they had an idea of who he was, but yet didn't really listen to all his press conferences, just knew he was the coach of the Dolphins. And then yesterday at 2 o'clock, they sit down and say, all right, you know, I'm over this right now. My emotion has dissipated. Here he is. He's going to have the jet green tie on, and he is our guy now.
You look good. I mean, from that standpoint,
I've accepted
good.
This.
And everything.
Let me get a look at this guy. Let me see what he has to say. I've finally been able to get over it. I'm ready here. And he sits down, and he looks like he's trying to hide the fact that he's high. Like
all the fans think he's surprised he's got Adam Gase's eyes.
I mean, he's looking around like paranoid, like a kid who would like show up high to his social studies class in high school. Like, I hope the teacher doesn't know.
And where's the next question coming from? Over there in the back?
Yeah, it was almost like the opposite of a Mike Tomlin presser, right?
Yeah, basically, yes. And then Christopher Johnson, who I do like, it was almost like he got up. He doesn't seem like he's a guy who's used to being in front of podiums. And he gets up there, and then the microphone's really loud. And then he like started to whisper because the microphone was loud. He was like, "Welcome to the Jets press conference. I really like Adam. Adam is great. These candidates were amazing. Every one of these candidates really, really, really amazing.
We're off to a good start. That's the way you got to look at this.
No, listen. We all know, though, that this press conference was awful. It couldn't have been worse. Like, it could not have been worse.
So you're saying they lost the press conference.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's good. So maybe they could win some football games.
Right, but it doesn't matter. I mean, unless Adam Gase went out there like, everybody knows the Jets suck, I would have taken another job if they wanted me. Like, I'm just here to get paid, and that's it, and hopefully we win. Like, if you said that, then it could have been worse. But outside of that, yesterday was the worst possible scenario. But we all know it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean a thing. He's going to go in there, and he's going to work hard. He's going to try to develop Sam Darnold, and hopefully ends up being a good coach. It's just amazing, though, that the first look at this guy was just, I mean, he is now... Once again, this is how I feel about some of my teams. Once again, you feel like the Jets are a joke to everybody. It's like, I can't believe
now. Well, this morning it is. They're taking shots at him and everything else. But this is, like I said, welcome to New York. This is what happens. This is not a kind place, especially getting off to like a weird kind of start to things. It's just not. It's not going to be. And ultimately, I'd like to say that, you know, come November or December, we're talking about him as coach of the year and the Jets coming out.
That'd be great.
And, you know, getting to 10-6 or 11-5, because it does happen. Worst to first happens every year in the NFL. You just got to hope that it's your team, and you just got to hope that you're quarterback, because they have basically put everything on this kid's shoulders now. Mm-hmm. Everything is on him, which I think is somewhat unfair, because I think when you look at the success of a Russell Wilson, yeah, he made plays and everything, but guess what? They built a team around that kid to absorb some of the shortcomings that he had when he first got into the league. And that's why they got to the Super Bowl twice. And then the second time when they finally got there, you know, he now all of a sudden is in lockstep with their offense, knows what's going on, and can handle everything. You know, Sam is still not there yet. This is going to be his second offense now that he has to learn. He has to learn from a second play caller. And, you know, they got to get guys in here that are going to be able to support him.
Sure.
And by the way, I think the $100 million, $90 million that we're talking about, look, they're not going to have that much money under the salary cap for free agency, simply because, they have to sign guys. They got to sign a full roster of players, and then we'll find out really how much money that they'll have and how they'll spend it and how they'll allocate it. And then, you know, also about the draft. So the draft, they got the third overall pick, and we were talking about this yesterday. You know, Mike Maccagnan can reverse what he did last year and do it well, and actually acquire maybe some picks that he has already lost due to some other trades. So I think those are things that are all on the table right now. It got off to a choppy, uneven start, kind of a weird start. But now is day one of the Adam Gase era, and he has now got to get to work.
Do you think that the players on the current roster were texting each other yesterday back and forth saying, what in the hell is this?
Like,
do you
100%,
think, like you know, like Jamal Adams sent a text to Quincy Enunwa that just said, bruh. You know, like something like that. Like, what did we just get? You know, with the eye emoji. And I mean, that's like, we think about us laughing at it, but like the first impression to the players and maybe hasn't gotten a chance to talk to yet is like, we hired a psychopath. Like, you know, like our coach is a psychopath.
I was not laughing at it. I was just going, oh my God, here we go. I know what's going to happen. I know what's coming.
Yeah,
I know what's
coming. Well, the first thing I thought was, like, is there something wrong? Like, does he have a sensitivity to light or something? Is there something going on? But then when I asked around and we saw the thing this morning, you know, not a health issue, I said, all right, fine. This is just a weird thing of his. Let's go to Joe in Yonkers. What's going on, Joe?
Yes. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Joe. What's up?
Morning. You know, I'm very frustrated. We were nervous for about this hire for a whole week, and then you guys try to talk us off the bridge. No, don't worry about it. It'll be okay. And then we're back to this morning, same old Jets being a laughing stock, and we're all like, oh, my God, here we go again.
Yeah, I know. But Joe, yes, you feel like that this morning. But, you know, listen, when it's a 3rd and 6 and Adam Gase is calling a play in week one that Sam Darnold feels comfortable with and he completes it and they win in the first week and the team's rolling, no one's going to be thinking about Adam Gase's eyes. Like, nobody will be talking about it.
But if they lose.
But if they lose, it's going to be a nightmare.
The puns are going to be endless.
Right.
You know that. The puns are going to be endless and it's going to be an all-out assault on the Jets' new head coach, and let's hope it doesn't go down the path of Lou Holtz.
Yeah, Walter in New Jersey. What's going on, Walter?
What's going on, fellas? Hey. I want to ask you guys what was worse, Adam Gase's eyes or Ben McAdoo's suit at the Red Sox?
You know, it's a great question, Walter. You know, if I'll give you a serious answer.
You don't think looks matter?
Yeah, I know. I think it's definitely Gase's eyes because the McAdoo suit thing was sort of cute in a way. Like, this is a football guy, lost a bunch of weight, and he doesn't know how to dress yet because he's a football guy watching tape, and that's all he cares about, and he doesn't care how he looks, right?
And he was wearing a square tent. I mean, but I'm telling you, man, that's why Shermer fits the bill.
No, I know,
you
know
he came in here. He looked great.
But this was like, oh my God, something's wrong with Adam Gase. You know, like the McAdoo thing's like, oh, look at McAdoo. We got to get him some new suits, huh? You know, like pat on the back, little ball busting. Oh, I'll get you a new suit, kid, you know? But the Gase thing, it's like, hey, man, is there anything you need? Like, is there anything I could do for you? Are you all right? Like, you need to relax or maybe some herbal tea?
Right, and then I think McAdoo went to, like, in the off season, he went to, like, some sort of, like, self-help classes, and he came back with the slick back hair and was ready to rip and roll with everybody. It's like, what the hell just happened?
Janice in New Jersey. Hello, Janice.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Janice.
I just got to say, you know, I watched this press conference yesterday, mm-hmm. and he looked like he just got out of, you know, a psycho bin, and you know, his eyes, his head's going backwards, and his eyes are following him backwards. Yeah. I think, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Look at this guy. He's nuts.
Right.
He's nuts.
Well, I mean, first impressions do matter.
I think that's what Jet fans need, actually.
Yeah, I mean, and yeah.
It might actually fit.
You know what? He was the only one that wasn't mellow there.
Right. True.
With that face, you know those eyes they have for kids that go boing, 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 boing?
Yes,
that's what he looked like.
Yeah, I know. Like the way I look at this is like, let's say you were dropping your kid off at a daycare and this was the person that you were leaving your kid with. You probably wouldn't do it, right? You'd say, no, never mind. You're coming to work with me. Right, like this guy, like that's how scary it was.
I was just thinking back to the Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Oh yeah,
like a boing! I was like, oh man.
Well, the eyes moving around too, and the head moving around, like that was a little bit more alarming. And there's a great video out there of a floating taco that they made where Adam Gase is following with his eyes the taco, like, oh, where's this taco going? Like he might have been hallucinating. All right, one more quickly before we go to break. Get CeeLo in here. Brendan in Holmdel. What's going on, Brendan?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man.
Just so, you know, I was one of the guys that was all on board for the hire at first. I was just going to wait, see the reaction. And yesterday, just at first glance, it just felt like my cousin Vinny to me. I just felt like we were stuck in prison, and this was our attorney coming to represent us.
Right,
and
the guy
stuttering.
Who
was stuttering. Guess what? Yeah. Maybe this right. maybe, oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, him. Yeah.
and I just felt like we were we were just stuck there, and that's where our future's at right now. Just first impression. That's what I thought of.
You know what? That is that could be the best analogy. It's going to be tough to top that analogy because it's perfect, right? Because here you are, you're waiting, your hopes are up, but you're in a bad situation because you're on trial, and this guy represents your hopes, and he gets up there and he can't get a word out.
Well, all I could tell you is that the only thing that is going to define who he is not some stupid press conference. It's not going to be some post-game comments. It's going to be how his team ultimately does. And how his quarterback does. And that's all I really care about. I guess we're going to have fun at his expense this morning. You know, it's probably not the look that the Jets were hoping for, but it is what it is. And now
what
here
makes
we
you
go.
Think that?
I don't know.
Man, I tell you, I still think he's going to be a good coach for the Jets. I still am not backing off of that. I don't think that, I mean, you know, someone who's that intense and that crazy looking could end up being a good thing for them. You know, I'd rather that than a guy who's totally lazy and mailing it in. But this was horrible.
I know your phone was blown up yesterday. So is mine.
Oh, yeah. Of course. I mean, immediately.
I mean, it was like, just like, what is up?
Yeah. Like confusion. Yeah, is really what it was. Like, what? Like, why is he doing this? What is going on? This is the man who's going to lead us into the future.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.